Welcome to the only podcast for piano teachers just starting out, Piano Teacher Primer. My name is Angela Toon. Keep listening for the prime pro tips you can use with your own students right away. Welcome back to the Piano Teacher Primer podcast. My name is Angela Toon. This is episode 64, Performance Without Anxiety, also called Stage Fright. Notice I said performance without anxiety, not performance without ever feeling nervous, not performance without butterflies, not performance without messing up. No, there's no such thing as a perfect performance. I'm also not talking about clinical diagnosed anxiety that might require medication. Refer to professional in that field, a counselor, therapist, to diagnose a more widespread anxiety that needs to be addressed. And I think everyone needs someone to talk to. Huge fan of therapy and counseling, or just somebody you can really talk to deeply, whether it's a trusted adult, therapist, counselor, pastor, bishop. Everybody needs somebody to talk to. That's what I think. And this podcast is by no means a comprehensive discussion on a topic as huge as this. I have been a bit intimidated by the topic, to be honest. Do I have a little performance anxiety about a podcast about performance anxiety? The answer is yes. I don't feel nervous right now, but just the process of preparing for this has felt kind of daunting. So, what I've come around to is I am just a piano teacher in my corner of the world, sharing my personal experiences that have worked for me as a pianist and as a solo teacher, and what has worked for myself and my students. And these are things that I tell my students. What I'm telling you today is what I tell my students to different degrees and levels, depending on their tendency to have stage fright. So there's kind of two aspects of it. Number one is physical, and we are very aware of what happens physically to us when we are feeling nervous, even performance anxiety. Heart beating, palms start sweating, it's hard to think clearly, we're breathing faster, but we tend to hyper-focus on the physical things, and we think these physical sensations are causing all of the problems. But there is a mental component. And in fact, the mental causes the physical sensations to happen. So what we think is causing the physical sensations, we can't stop all of those thoughts. Some of them are just automatically happening, and the physical response is so fast that it just happens without our control. So if we can roll with this, so the idea is not to stop the anxiety in its tracks. It's not to stop any nervousness. We're going to define it. We are going to frame it. We're going to think about it in a way that helps us. And we're going to work with our thoughts and feelings to be able to perform at our best and to teach our piano students how to perform at their best. And these are very human thoughts and feelings, right? We cannot turn ourselves into robotic piano players. That would lose the beauty of a live performance. So we want to keep the humanness of ourselves. And with that comes less than perfect. With that comes feelings and thoughts. But I will teach you today how to work with them. Now, this is just a short podcast. I will be going in depth into this topic at a masterclass next, it's in 2 weeks from when this podcast comes out about. So it'll be Thursday, April 11th. So mark your calendar for that. I'm going to be going in much more detail about performance without anxiety. And I'm going to share what some other people have taught me as well as my own experience. And then I'm going to share some of the actual experts. Part of my thinking has been like, I'm not an expert in this, but I'm an expert in my experience and my students' experience. So that's what I will be sharing. But in addition, at the masterclass, I'll be sharing more other people's experience. And it's a Zoom class, and angelatoon.com will give you some more details on that, as well as a link in the show notes. So have you ever thought about this, how performing is different? when, and what if we even had a performance in our own house? It's our own piano that we're used to. It's the room we practice in every day. It's the same fingers. It's the same piece that we have been working on for months, maybe more. And then people come and sit and their eyeballs are on us and all of a sudden everything changes. Why is that? Have you ever thought how strange that is? We've practiced and practiced and practiced, and then just another person in the room makes us not play it the same as we did 5 minutes before when they weren't in the room. Why is that? It's not our fingers that are the problem. It's not our arms. It's not our piano. And it's really not the other person. It's our thinking. Okay? It's all in our head, but that does not mean it's made up. It's very real. And the things that our brain thinks causes very real sensations in the body, as we were talking about. We're going to go into more detail on that next week too. So stay tuned, or next week at the masterclass on April 11th. All right. So I'm going to talk today about what you can teach your students about before their performance, during their performance, and after. We'll go into a little bit of detail on each one and what I teach students and what I have them do. Okay, so before, first things first, this one is obvious. Prepare your piece thoroughly, right? Learn it right the first time. Memorize it correctly the first time. Lots and lots of practice hours. Because when are our worst performances? When we're not prepared. So you cannot, none of these tricks will work if your piece is not prepared. So we do all the work of preparing and then we're going to apply my suggestions, okay? Before the performance is coming up, practice, have your students practice positive self-talk. Consciously looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I have been working so hard on this piece. I've got this. And I've heard that if you say positive things to yourself or negative, if you say something to yourself in the mirror, our body responds, our mind responds as if somebody else was saying it to us. It feels really good, even though it's just ourselves. So positive self-talk all before the performance even comes. And then part of the practicing is and with positive self-talk before the performance, have your students make a conscious decision. Decide to not beat yourself up after the performance. I think part of stage fright is we're actually afraid of what we're going to think about ourselves. We're not really scared of what other people will think or say. We're really afraid of what we are going to think and say to ourselves. So if you make a promise to yourself before the performance that you love yourself no matter what happens during that performance, that you're proud of yourself for all the hard work that you've put in, that you are proud of yourself for learning such a challenging piece, that you are proud of yourself for being brave. This is a brave thing for kids to get up and play and be in the spotlight. You know, it's scary. And I think there's a lot of anxious kids. I think COVID, I don't know exactly why, but I think ever since the year that shall not be named, that it has kind of damaged a lot of us. We're all a little bit more anxious. We just are a little different now, I think. Anyways, okay, now in the practicing before, you might have your piece really well prepared. But have you had practice performances with the nerves, performing with possible distractions, performing with the thoughts you want to think? We're going to get into the thoughts. I've also heard of the little students of yours, have them set up their stuffed animals, perform for your stuffed animals first, and then your dog, and then your family members, like your immediate family. And then if you can perform well for all of those, then keep inviting people over and inviting yourself to play for other people. Grandparents love this. Neighbors love this. Hey, you've got a friend over. You've got a cousin over to play. Want to hear my song? So have students perform many, many times before the actual recital or event. So my students participate in a federation festival, and I reward them with a candy bar for 5 performances before the federation festival. And that's not even including my recital. It needs to be 5 extra ones. So sometimes my students will get together and play for each other, and some teachers enforce it to be 5 different pianos, because we do not have the luxury as pianists of bringing our own instrument wherever we go. We have to adjust to the pianos that we play on. And sometimes they are less than tuned. Tune your pianos, everybody. So performing on different pianos, rolling with the different things. Now, this before, these prior performances, these practice performances, they are going to be practicing the thoughts. So I'm going to tell you in the during performing part about the thoughts. And I learned these from my teacher in college. And then it's amazing how life coaching has been like, oh yeah, I can use this in other parts of my life. All right. So right before performing, right before the actual performance, eat something. Have something on your stomach. I've heard that bananas are good to kind of calm the nerves. And I find I need protein before performing. If I'm performing on an empty stomach, I am shaky. Water, you need water and food, and that will help you not be shaky. Some kids get really cold hands, so I recommend that they bring gloves before their performance, or hand warmers, even better. So find what works for you. And you're not going to find that, students. I'm like talking as if I'm talking to the students, but on this podcast, I'm talking to piano teachers. So if I do that, I'm sorry. Try to just imagine you saying this to your students. But this can help us as performers as well. I love to perform at my students' recitals, and I get nervous. I get nervous feelings performing for my parents and families. I just have thoughts like, I need to look like I know what I'm doing. So this is good practice for us to show them that it is okay to mess up and that I can practice these same things. Okay, during the performance, breathe. So obvious, right? Breathe, but consciously, that's the first thing I do when I feel nervous performing, is I take a breath. And I learned this from my teacher in college, Jeffrey Price. Jeffrey also taught me to pay attention to what I'm thinking. So during the practice performances, they practice noticing what they're thinking. And if they make a mistake while they're in, I also do this in the lesson. I have a performance mode. Another teacher of mine has a little paper that has 2 sides, practice mode or performance mode. She calls it something different maybe, but you could get creative and make a little sign if you want. And if they make a mistake during a performance mode, ask them, what were you thinking about? So some thoughts to watch out for, students, especially negative thoughts. Sometimes we're thinking about our appearance. Sometimes we're thinking we're not as good as the people in the audience. And I'm going to go into detail on how I frame my relationship to the audience at the masterclass. Anything negative at all, even just, I hate this. Why does my mom make me do this? That will make them feel awful. It's hard to play your best when you're feeling awful. Now, the thoughts might not be negative, but they might be just a little bit distracting. So I remember performing. It was kind of a big deal, a recital. And I was in a quiet part, really, really soft. And then it was loud all of a sudden. And I heard somebody cough. And I remember the thought, because I had been practicing noticing my thoughts. And the thought was, I bet he's glad for a loud part so he could cough. Guess what happened? It caused a mistake in my playing. Not a big mistake. It didn't throw me off completely. But I could see that that one mistake came from that one distracting thought. So students can, with their practice performances, they can connect their mistakes to a thought. And then that'll motivate them to consciously focus on their thoughts. Not crazy, but just notice the thoughts that come in and out. Now, you can't, if you have those thoughts come in, you can't just tell them to leave. You know the old saying, don't think of a school bus. What popped in your head right now? A yellow school bus, right? So we have to replace the thinking with something positive, something in the piece, something to bring us to the present moment. So while performing, during the performance, I hear a little negative thought, oh no, here comes the hard part. And then I reassure it with, I've practiced this part so much. I know it really well. There's a lot of thoughts of, it's okay. You know, if I make a little mistake, it's okay. I'm still good. I'm good. Even, oh well. Oh well, move on to the next present moment. Okay, replacing with something in the piece, bringing you into the present moment of your piece. So hopefully, piano teachers, we've worked with these details of the piece in the lesson. The dynamics, imagery, if they have imagined something in their piece, maybe a reason for the dynamics to be, that's something for their mind to focus on so that it doesn't hyper-focus on things that don't matter. Hyper-focus on things that they're not used to focusing on. Like even just thinking, I love this part. It brings them into the piece. Last masterclass about memorization, we talked about characters and colors and imagery and thing and stories, creating a story with the piece. And that class is available to view. The link will be in the show notes, and it's just the masterclass called Memorization Mastery. So these same things that helped them memorize their piece in the first place, guess what? Can help them execute the piece on stage and help work with the feeling of feeling nervous. And the story, so they can immerse themselves in that story. They need to practice imagining while performing, doing their practice performances. Part of the reason is to practice performing while imagining, and that will help push out, that will replace the negative, distracting, any other thoughts that are not helpful. Oh, there's so much on this. Please come to the masterclass. All right. After performing, keep that promise to yourself, students. Keep that promise to yourself to be kind to you. And don't worry. It's not as big of a deal as you might think. I tell them this before the performance. Everybody messes up sometimes. It's okay. What would you say to your best friend if they had a rough performance? Would you tell them they were bad and the worst pianist ever and they should just quit now and spare everybody? No, we would be like, it's okay. You did a lot of good things. You finished to the end. You kept going. So tell those things to yourself. It feels dorky. It feels like, oh, it feels awkward. But it's important to consciously treat yourself like your best friend. It took me all into adulthood to figure these things out. So if these students can learn it at this young age, they will be unstoppable. Watch a video of the performance, students, and you may be surprised at how small the mistakes really are in comparison to the many good musical things in the piece. Once I made a mistake, and my previous college teacher, she said, it's just a drop in the bucket. A big bucket of good, good, delicious water, good music, good expression, beautiful things happening, and it's just a drop out of that bucket that was the wrong note. And then try again. So after your performance, try again. And let's just think about this, piano teachers, to wrap this up. Are there any other times in students' lives where they need to focus? Are there any situations where they need to perform under pressure? Don't you think these piano lessons are so good for these kids? It will help them in their entire lives, now and in the future. Think of tests at school, sports performances. All of this that they're working on in piano performing translates into being able to execute in sports too. And I tell the kids this so they know piano is just as cool as sports. How about a future job interview? How about a presentation on stage? Did you know a lot of people are more afraid of speaking in public than death? Yes, this is going to help these kids with that most common and universal fear. Or other musical performances. So we are changing the world one student at a time, like I always say. And so continue going and try this out and let me know if it works for you and for your students. I'll see you at the masterclass April 11th. Sign up at angelatune.com. Before you go, a quick note. Your dedication to piano education is keeping the music alive. If you have found value in our conversation, please leave a rating or a review and share it with a fellow piano teacher. Together, we're changing the world, one student at a time. Until next week, play on.